This is episode 284 of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. I'm your host, Josh Wiener, along with Seth Zillman and Jared Aubrey. And on this episode, we will be discussing the week in wrestling news and our thoughts on the Forbidden Door pay-per-view. Hey, OJ Will, get us started.
What up? This is Josiah Williams, and you're listening to the Wrestling Brethren podcast, where wrestling and pop culture collide. Yeah.
Welcome into the show, and on this episode, it is a very special episode. You know, it's too bad it's not like episode 300 or something, or even 285. We're just here on 284. But we are recording where we can all see each other. We're actually in the same room at the same time. It only took 700 episodes combined podcasts. But here we are. And fellas, I don't have a can of, well, I'll edit it in later, but how the hell are you?
Well, this has been a long time I've wanted to do this. And fortunately, I was able to meet Norco face-to-face before I passed a couple of years ago. We didn't record, but I've now met and spent time with now all the original brethren, you might say. And we're in Schaumburg, Illinois, the suburb of Chicago. Obviously, Josh and I have met in person a time or two from going to AEW shows and All In. But this is a very unique feeling, and I couldn't be happier at the moment right now. You just have to look at the tall, dorky-looking guy in the hippie haircut for a while. So.
Well, getting up at, 5 in the morning? No, 20 to 5 this morning. I don't know, 13-ish hours in the car. And we're here in Chicago. This is awesome. And I get to meet you guys. And this is absolutely fantastic. We've known each other online for going on close to 20 years. So to actually be in the same room is pretty damn surreal. It's awesome.
Because I'm pretty sure, Jared, you go back not just the A1 days, but possibly the old One Wrestling days.
Yeah, right? I was in on One Wrestling for a bit before A1 started. Yeah,
yeah. And I know, Josh, you've been going back to the A1 days because you joined the A1 podcast after about a dozen episodes or so. I think you became a regular. So
right. And Jared, hey, we've got two people from A1E in the same creative room at the same time.
We should be booking a show, right?
Who knew? It only took 20-some-odd years. All right. Well, in this unique situation, let's break down a little wrestling news. First item is that this past Monday on Monday Night Raw, Theory wins the United States title from Finn Balor. It was on the April 18th episode of Raw.
Got an email from the Raw General Manager.
Yeah, apparently. Forgot to turn off my notifications. But Theory. And we'll get to that in a minute. That's another topic. But Theory has already defeated Balor several times on Raw, one-on-one, tag team matches, and now it's for the United States title. So now this one match and result kind of spawns off a few other topics. The first of which is, obviously, if you're fans of Finn Balor, you're upset, or potentially upset. But getting that result out of the way and off to one side, let's get to the Theory aspect of things. Vince McMahon has put out a ring name edict that, except for a few stars and special cases, no more real names. They got to have the intellectual property. They want to own it all. And so no more Austin. It's just Theory. Raquel Gonzalez has become Raquel Rodriguez on SmackDown because Gonzalez is her real name. I think the other one I just recently heard about was Casey Catanzaro is now
terrible.
It's another KC name, but it's some gimmicky, stupid thing. It's
something Chance or something, isn't it?
Caden Chance or
nothing Casey to do with Chance, the Sunshine Band either.
So. No. Yeah. It's really bad. So we've gone through this before. Obviously Big E Langston became Big E. That wasn't necessarily the same thing. Claudio.
Cesaro,
but I can't even think of...
Yeah, Antonio.
Antonio. Was the, yeah. There we go. It's been so long. Antonio Cesaro became Cesaro. Just a whole bunch of trimming. And now no more real names, unless, of course, you're an established star. John Cena does not have to become Juan Cena when he comes back.
Juan Cena.
But thoughts on... the shaving of the names and the getting rid of the real names.
Well, I have no problem per se with them taking an approach like that. I mean, I don't like it, but it's like, it's their company. They want the intellectual property. So I understand why they would do something like that. Because it's a character that they can then invent. And then if that person would ever leave WWE, they can't take that name with them.
Which is fine.
Yeah, yeah. But some of these, when it's just one name, I mean, even when they had the Divas doing it, I hated when women would have just one name because it made them sound like strippers. You know, Lita, Victoria, you know, all that stuff. You know, I hated that. And really, I don't want to say with men it makes them sound like strippers, because it doesn't, but it's just, you don't really, other than, well, you don't really shouldn't rev your engine like that, pal, but.
That guy's upset about it, too.
Yeah, yeah. just one name just isn't as interesting to me unless it is something fitting, like, I'm just throwing the name out there, Fandango. You know, it worked because it was a gimmick name. It didn't sound like he was just going by a one name thing. But of all the names to change, you know, Austin Theory to just Theory, it also reminds me of several years back in TNA when TNA tried to repackage Christopher Daniels as just Daniels.
Oh, jeez.
And it was silly then. And you all know how much of a fan of TNA I was and how much of a fan of Christopher Daniels I still am. I thought it was silly. So it's just come up with a second name. Okay, maybe just try to say that Austin was his middle name or something like that, and now he's, you know, Siegfried Theory or something like that. I don't know.
You know, it's a good thing that he's from Atlanta, because otherwise you just are throwing away his finishing move name, his logo, the entrance theme, all involves ATL, mm-hmm. which is Atlanta, but also the AT part of it was Austin Theory. So just a nightmare.
Yeah, the thing about this for me is, especially when these folks have, or most of them, have come up from NXT, and they've spent that time there building their character, honing their craft, becoming who they are, and all of a sudden they have to start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I mean, Raquel Gonzalez had an amazing title win in a run down there, built herself up, and now she's going to start all over as the podunk babyface, right? And she's going to build that character all over again.
And at least they kept the ethnicity of her last name and not made her like Raquel Jones or something like that. But see, that's at least something. See, with Raquel, they could have just done the one name diva thing and just called her Raquel, but at least they came up with something else, another name, a similar sounding name. But now she doesn't come across as a badass anymore. She's been on two right. weeks. She's had two backstage segments. And, you know, they seem to be putting her with Natalya, which is fine. Put her with the veteran. Not that she needs it. But just in her case alone, I think it's interesting how far she's come in the 2 years. I think she debuted at NXT Portland, I want to say, right before the pandemic hit, when it was Dakota Kai versus Candice LeRae, if I have that right. And then Raquel came in and did the run-in and everything. And I remember our reaction at the time was like, who the hell is this? She's green. Get her off my TV. And now we love her for the most part. So yeah. Good for her.
We were pushed for her to be the female monster for what, the last year now?
Right.
Yeah.
Year and a half.
Never mind. Yeah. She's dating the former monster among men, but you know, yeah. Another thing that, and this ties back into the original thought of Finn Balor losing the United States title, is how do you watch or consume WWE programming now? Because they seem to do certain things at certain times that fans have been clamoring for. But if it's not your guy or your girl, are you still complaining? So for an example is, fans have been saying, oh, push the younger talent. Okay, well, they're trying to push Austin Theory. Theory. But if he's not your guy, are you still okay with them pushing a younger talent if it's not the one you want? In other words, for us who like Finn Balor, we feel like he's been pushed to the wayside to push a guy that's Vince's guy, and I'm having Drew McIntyre flashbacks from The Chosen One. And, you know, it's just not organic. It's not natural. Nobody needs to be Vince's guy to be to be pushed. And it's just, I don't know. Obviously, we all can't have our way. We're not the ones booking it. I think if you want things done your way, you need to watch AEW or something else. I just wanted to know your thoughts on how this impacts, or if it impacts, your viewing of the product.
I wouldn't say it impacts me, because I really just watch the pay-per-views now, or the premium live events, or whatever.
PLE.
I call them, yeah. And, but to make it specific, I mean, yeah, it is better that they push Theory or a Madcap Moss or whoever, because they are new faces. So I will commend them for that. Now, I think there's other guys out there that I probably prefer seeing wrestle more than those guys. Finn Balor's one of them. But Finn Balor, I think, he just turned 40, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not a young guy anymore. But he's never gotten a fair shake on the main roster for a variety of reasons. And he's not getting any younger, so.
Right.
It's brutal.
Yeah, it seems like it might be another Cesaro issue where you keep hearing the rumors and the rumblings that, oh, they're going to strap the rocket pack to Cesaro. I mean, we heard that at the beginning of like every year for like 5 straight years. So it doesn't really affect me, because I'm going to watch. Just the pay-per-views alone are enough to justify a Peacock subscription with me, because that alone makes it more than worth my time to watch, even if the shows aren't that great. But I can also see how somebody could say, well, when we said young guys, we mean, some of the guys that might still be in NXT, like Cameron Grimes or something like that. That might be who they're meaning, and not necessarily the people that still have Vince's look. The big, tall, muscular guys that are 6.5 feet tall, can't work a lick, but boy, they're big. You know, that does seem to be what Vince goes for. So, but yeah, I'll be watching no matter what. So, I'm not exactly the best person to comment on this.
We might need to put a qualifier on there. And when we say young guys, we just mean 20 years younger than Goldberg.
Yeah.
Because then Finn's still our guy.
Yeah, I mean, I DVR Raw, I DVR SmackDown. I fast forward through them both until I see something that catches my eye or a person that I'm interested in. And I'll stop and watch that segment. And, of course, I'm always looking for the Usos or Roman Reigns, obviously, right? Because we acknowledge our tribal chief on this podcast.
Of course.
Of course. But, I mean, in for Finn Balor, I mean, this is a guy that they tapped to, hey, you're going to be our first Universal Champion. You were good enough to be there, and we believed in you then, but damn it, you went and got hurt. So now, yeah, back of the bus.
Damn you, Seth Rollins.
But I mean, in his case, so if theory, geez, I can't bring myself to say that, has had his number for so long, why didn't Finn Balor bust out the demon in order to win the big match? Right? I mean, they're not even following their own.
I don't know.
They could still go back to that, but I can't remember the last time we've seen the Finn Balor be the demon.
And I think the last couple times he's done it, he's gotten beaten anyway, hasn't he?
I think you may be right, yeah.
So, oh, he jobbed out to Roman Reigns.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. As you would.
But I mean, and to go on about the younger guys, pushing, you know, just picking a guy and giving them the rocket strap. I mean, okay, that's shoving it down our throats, right? That's Roman Reigns 1.0. It's John Cena. And I still want to see Juan Cena and the Sanko knuckle shuffle. I think that'd be awesome. But, I mean, that's, like you said, it's not organic, right? It's, we keep saying time and time again, build somebody, give them some wins, develop their character. It's not just about strapping the rocket pack and having them win a ton of matches. If we don't know who they are or what they're about, then we don't care about them. We don't want to watch them. Yeah.
That brings an interesting side point, and it kind of ties in. But, you know, we did the whole episode on who beats Roman. We each booked our segment. Mm-hmm. I know my guy's not even with the company anymore. But now the clamoring is, and it's only because Roman has the only recognized world championship, is Cody Rhodes enough? He's already a star. You don't have to build him concurrently. I don't know when you do it, but is he enough of a star to be the one to take down Roman Reigns? I think you can do it. I wouldn't do it anytime soon because we all want Rock Roman at 39. But do you go that route in lieu of building a star, which they haven't done? I mean, obviously they still have a year. They'd have to start now and build somebody for the year that you're getting to WrestleMania. The problems you run into with that is anything can happen. Mm-hmm. Rock can get busy. He can get hurt on a movie set. These guys are all getting older, obviously. Roman, I think it's just crossed the 600-day mark, I think with Cody, you have his family versus the bloodline. You can tie that all in together. There's things to write about. But is he the guy that you think would take down Roman Reigns as things stand right now? Personally, me, I think you can, but I think they're going to wait for them to separate the titles again for however short period this lasts. If they separate them again, if they create a new one or whatever the case may be, whatever the Raw title is, I think that's the faster track to get Cody a belt, maybe at SummerSlam. That way you don't have to wait. That way now you're getting him on the hotness of his newness and maybe still get that AEW vibe. I don't think you can wait that long to have him beat Roman sometime around this point next year. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't have him beat Roman anytime soon. I think you're onto something. I think they will probably have some reason for there to be another world title. I don't know, they have a universal champion. Maybe they'll have a galactic champion or something like that. I don't know.
Well, the primary reason is USA Network's going to start wanting one soon anyway.
Yeah. But I do think that if you take 6 months or something like that and you put Cody on a heck of a roll where he goes undefeated for 6 months, 8 months or whatever, so you have that extra oomph at stake where it might not be just a title match. It's, you know, if Roman loses, he loses the title. If Cody loses, it'll be his first loss since he joined the company almost a year ago or something like that. I'm assuming this would be sometime in like Royal Rumble or something like that. I don't know. So I could see something like that. I think that's more likely. As much as I like Cody and as much as I think I said before that it's only a matter of time before he went back to WWE, I wouldn't have him beat Roman anytime soon. You know, I think I'm with you that it'd probably be better for him to become the first whatever new world title is, have him hold that for a while, and then feed him to Roman, whether he loses or whether he wins.
And they're not getting, you know, regardless of all the rumors, they're not getting rid of the brand split. Mm-hmm. So you don't even have to have him be fed to Roman. If he gets the Raw title or the Red title or whatever the hell, that could just be his path, his story. I think you almost have to call it back to the WWE title because that's his whole shtick of doing it for Dusty and the WWE title he never held. I still can't wrap my head around the creativity that it's going to take to separate them again. That's another headache for some that's well above my pay grade, and I don't even work there.
The last two times they did it, you're just like, oh, hey, here's another title. So that's probably what they do again.
Yeah, I don't know. Jared, what do you think?
Yeah, I was thinking about Cody actually after he came back. And actually, first of all, I just love that I can look at both of you guys while I'm doing this.
Exactly.
This is awesome. I thought about Cody, and you're right in that they need, if they're going to do it, they need to start now, right? They need to start building up. The thing with Cody is, as far as the WWE universe is concerned, he's new again, right? So we saw him last, 6 years ago, mm-hmm. as Dashing Cody Rhodes. He was a lot smaller.
Stardust, actually, but
yeah. That's okay, yeah.
Mr. Sinister, yeah.
He's a lot smaller than he is right now. He's gone, he's bulked up. He's a different guy. He's a different character.
Carries himself much better, too.
Oh, man, yeah. Him showing up in a suit like that every week is looks great. He needs to get reintroduced to those people that don't watch AEW because there are people that are on WWE, and that's right. All they are. So they can take that time to do that reintroduction, that rebuild. Have him go on a tear, because I think Roman, since his return, has not been pinned or submitted either. I think they mentioned that in the last title match.
Yeah, usually when he loses, it's a screwy schmoz right. or something.
And
yeah.
That's how you get the one belt off of him, is you screw him out of the belt. Mm-hmm. That's the easy way, but mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's how they're going to have to do it. But I think
that gives away Cody and Roman in a kind of meh kind of way.
Unless, and like Seth said, they have a new title and Roman becomes the undisputed intergalactic overlord or whatever it is.
That just gave me an idea. Cody brought back the classic intercontinental title. Hey, Cody, go to WWE shop, get the winged eagle belt. Mm-hmm. Then you can be whatever damn champ you want.
But yeah, they can build him up from now, reintroduce him, rebuild him from now until post next WrestleMania when we get Roman Rock. And yeah, I actually would get behind him beating Roman. That would be pretty cool.
And you could even flip it. You could have Roman be the face and Cody be the heel, because mm-hmm. they're one thread of a story away from making Cody the biggest heel that they have. And this is not my original idea. I heard it on Busted Open, but if you have him try and fail, then his MO is that, you know, I've been going after this title, and now, you know, he turns from endearing babyface to entitled prick heel in one incident, and then he could just go on that tear, which is might have been where he was headed in AEW anyway, because the fans had already turned on him. So who knows?
Much like Charlotte Flair's, you know who I am? I'm a Flair. I'm a Rhodes.
Yeah, could be. The t-shirts print themselves. All roads lead to the championship. Or lead to whatever.
Where's my wah-wah?
Hey, if it makes merch money, doesn't matter how cheesy it is. Yeah. All right, so the last topic I have, and this could get us on a huge roll, who knows, but
us never.
T- Tangents? What are you? What are you speaking
off the rails? Oh wait, it's on my bullet pointed notes. It's on the rails. Last night, as we're recording this, was AEW Dynamite, and Big Tony's big announcement was, funny enough, not even made by him. He comes out, he brings out the president of New Japan, and then they get cut off by Adam Cole on the Tron and makes the announcement himself. But we are getting the AEW New Japan Super Show. That is a pay-per-view called, aptly named, the Forbidden Door pay-per-view. It's on Sunday, June 26th in the United Center, Chicago, Illinois. Will Seth and I be there? Who knows? We'll have to see. But the opportunity presents itself. But that's not the point I'm getting at. The point is All Elite Wrestling, New Japan Pro, dream matches galore. What do you want to see off the top of your head?
Well, the first thing I want to say is that, I mean, I did look at the title of that, and it does say AEW X NJPW or vice versa. It has the X in the middle, which does mean versus.
Right.
So this means there are going to be interpromotional matches. It's not just a joint promoted show like the Madison Square Garden show was a couple of years ago with Ring of Honor and New Japan. So I'm all over it. I mean, there are a lot of matches that I could think of. The one that I'd want most to happen, because it's such a natural story, would be to, and it's assuming if both guys are healthy, and that would be Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi, because they were right in the middle of a story between Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi when Kenny left to help start AEW. And I don't know if one of them was going to turn heel or if Omega was going to stay heel or something of that effect. But they were teaming for a while. They met in the G1. I think Ibushi actually had to beat Omega to get the shot in the G1 to get to the world title. So that would have been a perfect point for there to have been some next chapter in that, but that never happened because we got AEW.
Darn.
Yeah. So now granted, yeah, let me, I'd rather there was an AEW. There was, and there not be an AEW. So I'm going to make that part clear as well. So that would be the one I'd want the most to happen. Other matches that I think could be amazing would be maybe Gorillas of Destiny against FTR. I think those two matches would be pretty amazing.
Now, New Japan does not have a women's division, right?
Correct, right. There's no women's division at all. I think they own the Stardom promotion, but that's always run as a different promotion. That's, I don't think All Japan has a women's division either.
So potentially no women's matches on this card.
Correct, right.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but I've been a big Okada fan. I think Okada versus just about anybody on the main roster would be interesting. I would imagine that's when we're finally going to get the Tanahashi-John Moxley match that they've actually been teasing for the better part of 2 years now. So, yeah, I'm pumped for this. If I'm not able to attend it live, I'm definitely buying the pay-per-view because I'm kind of the resident New Japan guy between the three of us here. So, yeah, I'll be all over this however I can see it.
Yeah, plus, much like the three of us in a room together, when is this ever going to happen again?
Right, right.
Yeah, I was just going to say that Seth is the big New Japan guy because I don't really know a lot about it. But I was thinking they could do a Bullet Club Canadian high stakes match where we do it like we pick hockey teams, just throw hockey sticks in the middle and out to three different sides, and all the Bullet Club members just go for superiority.
It's funny that you mentioned the Bullet Club because on this episode last night, they had Switchblade Jay White come out. And earlier in the night, they did a whole thing backstage with the Young Bucks, Adam Cole, Red Dragon, where Cole and Red Dragon kept calling them the...
It's Undisputed Elite.
Undisputed,
I think.
Elite.
Yeah. So it is that way they could get Undisputed and out there, I think.
Right. and still call it the UE if they want to.
They still flashing the hand sign?
No, they did not. But the funny thing is that gets me thinking is, I think, and Seth, you and I were talking about this earlier, if healthy, I think this is the show that you bring Kenny Omega back in. But it doesn't even have to be about a match. I think the story here is how they left things when he left from TV the first time. Mm-hmm. When he was with the Bucks and Adam Cole, and he just spoke and said, you know, if you can just keep an eye on things while I'm gone, that'd be great. Adam Cole's like, yeah, sure, Kenny, no problem. And he's like, I was actually talking to the Bucks. So I think the power struggle story is a lot more interesting than any title, any match.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Because now you've got Bullet Club involved, the Undisputed Elite. Kenny can obviously come back as a babyface. Whether the Bucks go with him or not is going to be the drama, because in this segment backstage, the Bucks did not say one word. Cole and Red Dragon said everything, and the Young Bucks were kind of just like had their heads down and not one word. Now there's going to be a 10-man tag next week on Dynamite featuring the Undisputed Elite versus a bunch of jobbers, but I think that's the story because they told the Bucks you don't have anybody left because Kenny left, the Good Brothers left, went back to Impact. They don't, Cody's gone.
Yeah, they didn't mention Cody by name. No, but they didn't have to.
Right. Yeah. All your friends are gone is basically what they said. So I think Kenny comes back as a babyface. The Good Brothers contract is actually up soon. If they don't re-up with Impact, it's a no-brainer to go to AEW. Do you bring the babyface Good Brothers with babyface Kenny Omega and make a third faction? I mean, this is faction wars written all over it, but I think the story is there. I think the history is obviously there, all the Bullet Club stuff. I think this is the show that you do it at. Yeah. Forget Double or Nothing, which is crazy to think about because that's the WrestleMania.
Yeah. Well, and another thing about that Bullet Club story is they recently turned a Gorillas of Destiny babyface. They actually got kicked out of the Bullet Club.
That was on Impact, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
And I don't know when his contract is up. I don't want to sound like I'm stirring the pot here when it might not even be something relevant. But Finn Balor, I mean, there is the rumblings. Is it going to be it for him soon?
Please.
Finn Balor was the original Bullet Club leader. So you could actually throw in that surprise ingredient if he's able to show up. And like I said, he may be under contract for another year. I don't know. But if he somehow becomes available before the show, I mean, that's another interesting curve to throw into that story with the Bullet Club, because you'd basically have three Bullet Club leaders, the current one and two from the past.
Now, with it being April 21st, his contract would have to run out, much like Cesaro, because the 90 days would not cover it. It'd barely be 60 days. But what do you think, Jarrett?
Is this where William Regal comes out and is like, there's only one way to settle this, and that's War Games. And then we can watch Don Callis' head explode.
Is yeah.
War III with three rings. Each faction starts in a ring.
Yeah,
but I do like, and we talked about that earlier before the show. I do like the idea of the Bullet Club leaders, past and present, all vying for control of the group. That would be interesting.
Now, was Cody a Bullet Club leader at one point?
Yeah, he was.
God, they got everybody.
Yeah, because that was they had a time again right before AEW started where Kenny was the IWGP champion. Cole was the Ring of Honor champion, and Cody was, I think, the IWGP US champion. He might have had the NWA title at that point too. And it wasn't just the conversations and the dialogue they were having. I mean, there was clearly, like, you could tell when one was talking, the other two were, you know, and they just did the subtle things that were like, this is going to reach a boiling point, you know. So obviously, they can't do that with Cody now, and that's fine. But I mean, they can still do it with Cole, and I think the natural way to go would be, because Kenny come anytime you have somebody come back from a long-term injury or operation or whatever it was. I mean, we know how banged up he was. Anytime you have somebody go away and come back for a while for health reasons, it's hard to bring them back as anything but a baby face, because the crowd's naturally going to have sympathy for that person. So I think it's the natural story is, yeah, Kenny and the Bucks, whether they come in as baby faces or whether the Bucks get screwed or something like that, and there's a power coup that goes on with Cole. I mean, I think that's probably the best way to go would be to have it be Kenny and the Bucks turn baby face.
Now, what's interesting about that is this has, I think, enough in it to make it one of those summer story arcs. Because June 26th is only like a week after summer starts anyway. Mm-hmm. And depending on, you know, whatever agreement New Japan has with AEW, these guys can show up at will, even not being quote unquote all elite. I mean, Jay White's already been on a Dynamite a handful of times. Mm-hmm. He's signed to New Japan. He may or may not have a deal with Impact, but he appears on Impact.
Yeah, he's on Impact regularly, yeah.
Now, in terms of the Bullet Club as it currently stands, it's Jay White, it's Chris Bay, mm-hmm, from Impact. He joined the Bullet Club through the Impact stuff. Now, I don't know, like, I don't know enough to whether they appear in New Japan together or on New Japan shows, because part of it's Impact talent, part of it's New Japan, mm-hmm, talent. Would they all be able to collectively show up in AEW or on this co-promoted show as New Japan talent? It's going to be interesting because, you know, Jay White clearly said Bullet Club and Undisputed Elite. I don't know. They indicated that Cole and White are friends. Are they trying to form a super group, mm-hmm, between these? Or, you know, do we get the drama that we're thinking that sets up at the pay-per-view?
Ooh, ooh, finger poke of doom, and they all join together in one massive group.
That would keep Kenny a heel, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, some people are clamoring for, you know, Punk to beat Paige at Double or Nothing, and then Punk versus Omega in a trilogy over the summer. But I don't even think you can... You don't need to do that right away. I think this current story is strong enough. You don't even need Kenny near the title right now.
Yeah. I agree. Because, you know, as soon as somebody like Punk wins the world title, you know there's going to be the naysayers. They're going to say, see, look, they're building this around the old WWE guys. And... actually think that Punk would make a good AEW champion. You know, I would not be opposed to him, but it would give ammo to the,
of course,
the critics. I actually, like we talked about a couple weeks ago about what would you do with Ring of Honor, I would probably put Punk in the Ring of Honor promotion along with Joe. But I also think that Hangman should probably get a few more high profile wins before he loses the title, because I like the idea of just line up the stars that have made their names outside of the promotion, line them up and just have Hangman beat all them. I know it's not really, it doesn't really have much to do with the Forbidden Door show, but you could do that story. And like you were saying about the, you know, the Bullet Club power struggle, that's your non-world title main event story there too. So,
yeah. And one thing we haven't even spoken about is who Bryan Danielson faces at the Forbidden Door show. I'd be perfectly okay for a WWE-esque rematch and doing Danielson and Minoru Suzuki again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Let them beat the crap out of each other again.
Yeah, anybody in New Japan would have a great match with Danielson. I mean, that's one of the reasons why he left WWE is because he wanted to work New Japan. You know, he wants to do the G1. You just go down the list. I mean, Tanahashi would be great. Okada, I mean, I know Okada's like 6'3", but Okada's one of those guys that can have great matches with anybody. Sonata would be a very interesting one as well. I
drive a Sonata.
Yeah. Well, the Sonata from New Japan, when he dyes his hair, he almost looks like Abe Lincoln going Saiyan or something like that. But he's one of those guys that can do the leapfrog when somebody's running behind him. You know, he'll leapfrog and then they bounce off the ropes and he leapfrogs again when when they're coming behind him.
Nice.
But yeah, those are three names easily right there between Sonata, Tanahashi, and Okada that tear it up with Danielson.
Well, we won't be adding the Forbidden Door to our predictions contest because, one, Seth would whip our ass, and two, in an inter-promotion pay-per-view, you're basically flipping a coin as to who's going to win. Yeah. There's nothing really storyline-driven aside from the aforementioned faction wars.
Yeah, I hate to compare it to spring training, but it's that type of thing. It's almost like it's an extracurricular event.
And you don't want to bury a bunch of folks. You're likely to see some more schmozzes or non-finishes.
Right.
Yeah.
It's an AEW New Japan show sponsored by WWE Disqualifications. So that's all I really had on tap this week. They really haven't given us a lot of news this time around. I don't necessarily want to wrap things up since this is the only time that we're going to be here, but it is getting late. So I'll ask you guys, what are your thoughts on anything?
Well, I've said for like every show for a couple months now about how interesting of a time it is to be a wrestling fan right now, and there being another co-promoted event is another sign for that. So I guess I'm probably most excited for where we could be in 2023 because I think that's when AEW's contract's going to run out with Time Warner, whether it'll be re-upped or whatnot, how much of a difference the Discovery merger will make on them.
I've heard that it shouldn't.
Yeah, I would think as long as there is the revenue going in, that it probably wouldn't be as big of a deal because this is nothing like the WCW Time Warner deal because Time Warner owned WCW when it was a sinking ship and they were losing lost something like $60 million on it. I've heard rumors that they may have some sort of minority interest in AEW. Like there's a small portion of the company that they actually do own, but obviously the cons own the lion's share of the company. So I think all Time Warner and Discovery have to do is just, you know, as long as they make whatever goal they were supposed to have as far as their numbers that, you know, that they'd be happy. So it'll be interesting to see what happens then when AEW's next contract comes up. And it'll be interesting for WWE as well, because I think WWE is still going to do just fine with their TV deals because what wrestling can offer that a lot of other programming can't outside of sports is live programming, something that, as they would say, DVR proof. You know, most people prefer watching their sports live. I prefer watching my wrestling live.
Yeah, which is why they couldn't stop during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I mean, the shutdown, because they were under contract to produce live television.
Yeah.
And that's why the WrestleMania replays are snippets or whatever that were taking over, I think it was the third hour of Raw for a couple of weeks there, they stopped that because it's not live content.
Yeah.
So.
And plus it kind of, I think, reminded some of the viewers like, hey, yeah, remember how much better things were a few years ago?
Look, people.
But that's really all I got as far as my opinion on the wrestling world right now.
Well, I got thinking the other day, and I don't want to get into fantasy booking the bloodline at this point, but when
version 5,
yeah, when Roman sent the Usos over to Raw challenge for the Raw Tag Team Championships, he said, "We're going to have all the gold,"
even though it's silver.
Yeah,
right.
The giant nipples.
There's another division of titles out there. There's the Intercontinental Championship, and there's the U.S. Championship.
Ricochet is not related, sorry.
I know, but there are people within the company that are, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
And do we finally get the trigger pull on that? And I don't know. I doubt it, but I would like to see it happen.
See, but that's another one of our guys, your guys specifically, that would have to drop the title. But if it's for the greater good of the family, would you do it?
You acknowledge your tribal chief, yes?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You're number one Ricochet fan. You tell me.
Yeah. So we talk in the renamed Solo Sikoa as Jake Uso or whatever, and have him win one of those titles.
Well, if we can't have Braun Breaker be Rex Steiner, then who knows? I think Roman and Paul would overrule anything, and he'd be whatever his real name is plus Uso. I mean, he is their brother, for crying out loud. Yeah. It's not even a cousin. It's a third brother, which I didn't even know about until he signed his contract.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly the guy I'm thinking of. So, I'm over that. And yes, I would sacrifice Ricochet for the greater good of
that's dedication. Of
the yeah.
Well, Ricochet is one of those guys. If for whatever reason he left WWE, he could go back and just basically name his price and promoters will pay it. So
I forget who was saying the other day on Twitter, and it was – there's a fairly big star these days. I said they just needed to let Ricochet be Ricochet. Mm-hmm. He would be just beyond amazing. And I mean, I've seen that.
I think it was Mick Foley, if I'm not mistaken. Some legend.
Yeah, I forget who it was, but him working within the confines of a WWE ring versus what he's done, say, even in Lucha Underground.
Or NXT, for that
matter. NXT, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's kind of the when you get the limitations of the big brand.
Yeah, there's that animated GIF that went around for a while. That was him and Will Ospreay, where they do kind of they both do like the double backflip, and they both do like the superhero landing.
Yeah,
and look at each other. You know,
there's another name for Forbidden Door, Will Ospreay.
Yeah,
he's under, but he's injured, is he not?
No, he wrestled Moxley last week in Chicago, so I think he came back. But yeah, he'd be an interesting one to put on
another Chicago show. What the hell is going on?
That was New Japan alone. That was at
we're a little spoiled for wrestling.
Jeez. Yeah, I think it was at the location that ECW used to own. I think it was the Odeon or whatever. I forget the exact.
Another place I used to live down the street from.
Yeah. So, but that was a New Japan only show. So
right. And then I wanted to pull up and see if there was any wrestling news that may have sprung up while we're recording. And the only thing is that for New Japan Strong's Capital Collision show, which may be Sunday. I know they're running a show Sunday. But this is Eddie Kingston versus Ishii.
Yeah. Yeah, they hinted that at the Windy City Riot show. Yeah,
wrestling on Rampage, Adam Cole. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow night. So that was their, so he's got, if this is Sunday, then he's got Adam Cole Friday. Saturday is an Impact pay-per-view. And I forget who he's fighting there. Eddie Edwards. He's fighting an Impact.
It might be, yeah.
Yeah. So he's got an AEW match Friday, an Impact match Saturday, and a New Japan match on Sunday.
He's got the working boots on.
Yeah. Right? World's shortest tank.
All right. Well, this was definitely fun, unique. Mm-hmm. Lord only knows when it will happen again.
Hopefully it won't be 2030 when it happens, because it's only pushing 60 by then.
So next episode we'll be back to our Skype environment, and maybe we should find a better environment, because I think Skype's gone down the tubes. It's one of the things that Microsoft has not gotten right.
Well, I think they put more effort into Zoom, so.
Yeah. I'm surprised they actually don't own Zoom, tell you the truth. Yeah. But until then, and I think next week, let me just check the calendar real quick. Don't know if next week will be our, no, not next week, but the week after. So the week of May 2nd will be our WrestleMania Backlash predictions, where we have 75 rematches from a pay-per-view we just saw. But until then, thank you once again for listening, downloading, and subscribing, and we will talk to you next time.